from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Count so you can have a little bit more next year. That's really the only argument people have.
Otherwise, you don't like that one?
Not really, because if this dude is built so much different, why does that matter so much? You'd rather have this guy be pitching against Aaron Judge in a meaningless game where we don't even know if Aaron Judge will be playing, mind you, in late September. The Yankees could have that locked up by the final series. You'd rather have that, and again, God forbid something happened,
okay,
and 2025 is now thrown off kilter.
So just, is this more about his lack of experience and not wanting to unnecessarily put too much on his plate? Or is it strictly about when you wave the white flag on the season, any valuable player should not be put into a situation where he could get injured, and therefore, if it happened, you would not be able to justify the injury?
I don't know if I'd say any valuable player, but this guy is your most valuable one.
Like
this guy's a golden ticket for them.
Like, they have said all year that Cruz's ankle is not like 100%, that he's played through some injury, and that's why his stolen base numbers are so far down.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say the same thing about him in September?
I don't think my concern is quite as high for him, but that if they're saying that already, that's going to be a reason if we're a month from now, they say, we're just going to toss him
position,
on the IL.
I can't tell where you're going to go with this, Chris, based on facial expressions that are being made.
Well, position players and pitchers, I think when you're talking about like reducing their workload and shutting them down, are two completely different things.
They are for the most part, but when someone has a recent injury and they've talked about it all year, I do think it's
I don't think there's any correlation between him continuing to play on an ankle and like it really, I would say like he wouldn't be playing on an already less than 100% ankle if they thought there was a greater chance of injuring it by playing than just by resting. Like, it's not an injury that can get worse, or it's not an injury where playing is going to increase the likelihood that he re-injures it, okay? So I would keep him playing, because all they've ever said about him all year is he's really only in his second season. Like, he's got to get the reps. He's got to do this.
Yeah.
With Skeens, I would keep pitching him bare minimum 4 more starts, probably 5, for one reason. He's thrown 92 innings in the majors this year. He threw 27 and a third innings in the minors. Now, we all agree, I think, on this show.
So that's 119.
Yeah, 119, exactly. I'm rounding up to 120, basically.
Oh, okay. I will do that then.
Because he started the other inning and didn't finish it, right? So he's thrown 120 innings. If you want him, if the Verducci rule is somewhere like you don't want an innings increase of whatever it was, like over 40 from year over year, if you want him available,
F Verducci. I know he went to Penn State, and you.
Why would that be a reason for me to defend?
Because
him?
He came not. You don't root against people from Penn State. You just root against the sports teams. So I wasn't sure if there was like a...
I think you're really just saying that to try to undercut what you know is going to end up being a sound logical argument by me.
We'll continue it. I'll tell you at the end.
Oh, you're suddenly the only arbiter of sound and logic. Okay. You were on drugs yesterday, so you said.
No, I was on drugs when I was in college, and I was merely telling people that that was my excuse or reason for eating out of a trash can.
Which is much more forgivable. Anyway, he has 120 innings. You figure Paul Skeens, what, get seven innings a start right now?
Yeah.
Let's just say, let's spitball that range. Four more starts would be 28 more innings, get him around 150, between 145, 150. Maybe you throw a fifth start and he gets into the 155 range, and that would be a roughly 30-inning jump over the previous year. That at least sets you up for Paul Skeens next year to be able to throw 185 innings, 190 innings, and be a full workload guy if you anticipate being better next year. I'm saying I don't necessarily think that'll be the case, but they clearly do. That's their goal. If you want him at your disposal for the entirety of 2025 and whatever playoff run they think they might make, you owe it to yourself to stretch him out this year to get him ready for next year. Because if they shut him down at like 125 innings, then suddenly next year he can only go 160 innings. And then it's year three of Paul
shutting
Skeens.
Him down at 125 innings would be this.
Like one more start and then
start
he's done.
Friday, tomorrow night, and then he's done.
Yeah, for all of September, essentially. And then like probably one August start. Even shutting him down after two more starts still doesn't set you up to have a full Paul Skeens in 2025. That should be the goal here. Not does he finish in the top two of the rookie of the year and then we lose a year of service time. No. Paul Skeens needs to be full go, fully at your disposal, not being managed it or pitch counted or inning counted or six-man rotationed in any way starting on opening day 25.
So just to be clear then, if he were to suffer some kind of injury that affected his availability for next year in the next month and a half, you would not coming on the air and saying, what the hell?
Up. Yeah, because I would say it was in service of you're trying to get him stretched out to be ready for all of next year.
And just to be clear with Donnie, if Skeens got injured in a start 3 weeks from now with the Pirates 15 games out of a playoff spot and it affected his availability for next season, you would say, what the hell were they doing?
Yes, I would.
I gotta side with Donnie on this. In that,
it's okay to be wrong, both of you.
In that I feel like these games for the Pirates are basically like glorified NFL preseason games.
That's fine. In many ways they are, but I want to stress to both of you, get ready for the same discussion about him next year if you do this. When are they going to shut him down?
But why?
Because they'll rigidly...
Because of the Verducci rule?
I think you don't think that a lot of teams, including especially maybe the Pirates, adhere to that basic mindset.
My mindset would be...
I'm not asking what your mindset would be. Don't really think that teams adhere to that.
Do I think some do? Sure.
Do you think the Pirates are probably more likely than not to be one
with
of those
him,
teams?
Probably, because he's their golden goose. Laying golden eggs. The
Mitch
goose
Keller,
may not be made of gold,
Mitch
but
Keller
the
had
eggs are.
Mitch Keller had obviously a very up and down start to his career. In 2021, he threw 100 innings.
He's an up-and-down pitcher, period, right now.
In 2021, he threw 100 innings. Then he did stretch all the way out the next year. I don't even know if he had minor league starts for any reason in 2021. But then he did throw 160 innings the next year, so it was a pretty big jump. Then he jumped to 194 innings.
I'm just not really comfortable making him pitch into September with the Pirates not in it. Because I don't think I could live with myself if he got hurt. That's the filter I run it through. Are you prepared that if he got injured doing his job, you would say it was worth it? And my answer is no. Like, the Verducci rule jump is not enough for me to say, yeah, throw him out in games where they're 15 games out of first place.
Keller, by the way, to my suspicion, correct. In 2021, he actually threw about 130 innings. So they only jumped him 30 the next year, then 30 the year after that. Just be prepared for both of you. If they were to shut him down in service of the idea you were both talking about, to have this same discussion next year if he's creeping around 160 innings in September.
I will cross that bridge when we get there, Chris.
And then you'll say, and if they were to shut him down or be hyper-cautious in an actual playoff race, you know what you can both say? And you can both say, Malzy, we should have listened. You were right.
Text us on the Edgar Snyder Associates fan text line. Pop next on all this stuff, plus PM team power rankings at 3:30. Top five what-if Pittsburgh athletes of all time in honor of Martavis Bryant coming back into the NFL, a guy that had all kinds of talent and it just never clicked here. Headline, and we're right back. It's the PM team.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Watching these baseball games have been tough on the heart. If you're the faint of heart, you know what I mean. Your heart care matters. Trust the experts at UPMC. Get your heart screened today. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for a half century. That's where we find KDK TV's sports director for several decades and a man who will call tomorrow or Saturday night's Steelers, Bills, preseason extravaganza, and that is the great Bob Pompiani. Bob, were you at the joint practice today?
I was at the joint practice briefly, yes. Had some other things to do over there, but yes, we're planning at a production meeting with Craig McConnell and Reagan Barube, and we're getting things ready here for Saturday night.
Any brouhahas? Any fracases?
Give our listeners an idea of what stood out to Bob Pompiani today from that whole deal.
Nah, listen. After you've watched a number of these things over the years, there's not much. I expected a little bit more physicality.
I think these two. Did they have pads on? Were they tackling each other?
Pads on. Yeah, pads on. But I'm just saying, I guess I've been accustomed to watching some of these things that have gone into, anger management type of situations. Some of these players, first time they're seeing someone other than themselves, and there are little things that happen. Now, I wonder, the Steelers and Bills have had some bad blood between them. As much as they, don't play in the same division, they hardly see each other. But the last two times they have, there have been some issues in those games, including the playoff game that the Steelers lost to them last January. So you never know. I think it's always good that you get a chance to see him maybe in this kind of setting, and then it carries over into the game, and we'll see what that means, if anything.
Anybody flash or pop in the time you were over there? Anybody jump off the page from that Steelers roster?
A jump.
A leap.
Nobody jumped off anything for me. I mean, I want to see it in the game before I will declare that, but I think Jaylen Warren always jumps for me, though. He's always a guy who's engaged, and I guess that's the undrafted free agent mindset. A lot of guys who have not been declared a draft pick and therefore have to earn everything they get, they seem to have that ability to just bring it every time. And I think it's a good thing. It's part of his survival, and it's made him now someone they can rely on. But, you know, you don't have to go through being a number one coddled pick at times and have two or three chances. These guys know they don't. And because of it, I think his work ethic shows every practice.
Give me somebody along those lines who you think hasn't established themselves but has those Warren qualities who you're looking forward to watching and calling on Saturday, Bob.
You're talking about an undrafted guy or somebody who just embodies that mindset.
Under the radar, let's say.
Okay, Ryan Watts is a guy I like a lot. You know, he was a sixth-round pick. But a guy who's a ball hawk, somebody who's really he'll do what it takes to get on the roster. And when your goal is to get on the roster, when the odds may not be in your favor, you have to do everything. And I think you've kind of seen that in what he does every day. Again, it's a survival tactic. If you're one of these guys who is already, you know, they're not going to mess with first, second round picks. You know you're on the roster. I don't know if that's a human nature thing or whatever, but people like him, you know they have to go the extra mile. You see the guys they brought in at wide receiver, be it Van Jefferson or anyone else, even Calvin Austin, who hasn't necessarily had a good start to his career and what people might have imagined. They have to stay afterwards. They're showing people they'll sit and take 300 jugs repetition. So I like that. I mean, you can never be satisfied with where you are in sports, and I think if you have that mindset, it serves them well.
How much Russell Wilson do you want to see in this game on Saturday, Bob?
Well, for my take, Chris, I'd like to see the whole game just to make it more interesting, but that's not going to happen. So
yes, I was not asking you to answer selfishly. I was asking you to put on your what do you need to see? How much do you need to see Wilson?
Well, I don't think you need to see much of anything. I think you know what he is. The thing we need to see if he's healthy enough to go in there and do it, and that would take one or two series. If it's a good first series, maybe that's it. If it's not, if it's three and out, I guarantee he'll be back for more if he's going to be in there. You got to see a little bit because you won't see him in the last one. So that leaves 3 weeks in between the first game. And Atlanta's a pretty good opposition, you know, right off the bat on the road. So I think they need to get some sort of idea of where he is and how he relates to the people on the offensive line and all these new teammates of his. So I would say two series.
Are you of the mindset that there's nothing Justin Fields can do on Saturday or the following week against Detroit to get that job from Wilson, Bob?
Yes, I'm of the mindset that if Wilson's healthy, he'll play and be the starter. And then you go from there. But that's okay. I mean, there's a lot of football. All we've seen already is J.J. McCarthy out for the year. And, you know, Sam Darnold emerges as the guy maybe they're going to have to utilize with a weak, quarterback room behind him. You just don't know about the NFL. There's Joe Burrow last year, same kind of thing, you know. And it ends up being something he's not able to come back from. So you're going to need two quarterbacks. So I think Justin Fields is still going to be someone who's going to carry on some major importance and significance for this team
Do you think because of that, they're gun-shy to use him in certain situations and have certain design packages for Fields?
Yes,
do you think
we'll
do. See that?
No, I think you will see it in season. I don't think you're going to see any of it now.
No, but you think, when we get to Atlanta, he'll get
snaps
on offense.
That's part of the menu. That's part of the real menu, basically.
Why wouldn't it be? I mean, if you're
we haven't seen it at camp yet, is what I'm saying. We've not seen it.
No, and you won't probably see. They have time to figure that out. But also, when you have a guy like that with that kind of talent, you've got to utilize it at some point. And we've not even seen it, like, in the first game. I thought maybe we see some of Fields run. He didn't. And the reason is they know what that is. They know what that looks like. They want to see him pass. They want to see him what he can do there. But I think, make no mistake, they'd be crazy not to utilize a guy like that. Why wouldn't you?
Better chance, Bob, that their second leading receiver this year, let's assume they don't get Ayuk. Their second leading receiver is one of the wide receivers other than George Pickens, or is Pat Freiermuth?
You're asking me who that might be?
I'm saying, is there a better chance that after, let's assume Pickens is their number one receiver, their best receiver this year, has the best stats, better chance that the next best receiver they have is either Pat Freiermuth or one of the other wideouts currently on the roster?
I would say probably Pat Freiermuth, but I also wouldn't discount Jaylen Warren. I think they're going to utilize that running back swing pass, design screen pass, more than maybe people think, or more than they're used to seeing, because they haven't seen it at all.
This Warren love has me wondering with you, Bob.
I'm going to call you the Warren Commission.
What do you see the playing time breakdown between Najee and Warren once the season gets here?
Well, every year we've seen it decrease for Najee Harris and increase for Warren, I would expect that trend to continue. That's not to say they both aren't utilized and both are very important, because they do have a good 1-2 punch, and you want to utilize that facet given the fact that Arthur Smith likes the run game. But I think when you're going to see some design plays for Warren out of the backfield, the guy has a head of steam all the time, and he's very quick to get the ball and go and takes off. So, no, I would say Freiermuth is the biggest beneficiary of not having a legit – when I say legit, I don't mean that in a disparaging way. I'm saying someone who has a resume behind George Pickens. So I think Freiermuth would probably be the de facto guy there.
Do you think Juju Smith-Schuster ends up with the Steelers again?
Probably not, but you never know. Just because of this thing with – I don't know when this Ayuk thing is going to ever get settled. But if he doesn't come here – then, I mean, at this point, I guess why not? But I wouldn't go back there. I haven't seen the results from him lately.
I agree with that. Would you like to just, because it doesn't even matter at this point, would you just like to toss your own bit of kindling on the Ayuk fire, just make something up you want to toss out there? You saw him. He was wearing a gold 49ers cutoff shirt with two red sleeves, but then he had a black hat on, so he's really just representing both teams, Bob. And he was drinking.
Yeah, as a matter of fact,
green
Gatorade. I saw him at a wine tasting last night. He flew in after practice, he didn't have a change of clothes. He had the 49er gear on, and he came to a wine tasting. And you can tell he's elegant. And you also can tell that he's going to be a situation where he's going to make a lot of money, because the wine he tasted, which was an extremely rare Camus, was on display. So
a yes. Camus.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the Ayuks of our lives.
Thank you for that, Bob.
You like Camus, Chris?
I thought that was that writer, Albert Camus or something.
Spelled
like that.
The same way. No, Camus is a very, very popular one. Bob, I was talking to somebody at the Washington County Fair about it, as a matter of fact.
Blue collar wine. Bob, you're going to have me sample some of this Camus wine here. I haven't had it yet.
Oh, you'd love it. And you will taste the difference. I'll set that up. We'll have some sort of wine tasting. And I have a lot of good cheeses that I get. And I think you'll like it.
Done and done.
And who knows? Maybe Brandon Ayuk will join us.
Consider it a date.
See you, Bob.
All right, boys. Take it easy.
There you go. Bob Pompeiani, Saturday night, calling Steelers and Bills. And maybe we'll have an answer.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the Ayuks of our lives.
Here's what I think I got to do. Pomp and Lisa drop by the house before busy season starts.
Busy season is well underway for
true,
him, Chris.
But
you
he makes a little bit of time. Bring some of that Camus wine. They can see the boys running around in their element. Alex would love the wine and cheese. I think that's it. I think I just, kind of create that invite right there.
Total Request Thursday. What do you want us to talk about at 5:30? Your four choices today. Brandon Ayuk, Mark Cabali, Lantern Flies, Kenny Pickett. Brandon Ayuk right now. They can't get enough of the soap opera, our listeners. He is the number one choice.
I'm surprised Cabali's not winning.
He is in second. He's narrowly.
How's Kenny doing?
Lantern Flies. He's in last. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. PM Team Power Rankings are next. Martavis Bryant is back in the NFL. Man, that guy had a chance to be a Hall of Famer. Did he crack Donnie's list of the top five what if Pittsburgh athletes of all time? But first, a headline. Mike Tomlin talking to reporters right now about his plans for Saturday's preseason game. Anything interesting comes of that, we'll pass it along to you. It's 3:30 and it's a Thursday. That means it's time for PM Team Power Rankings. Today, Donnie is ranking top five what-if Pittsburgh athletes, guys that could have had incredible careers, amazing careers, even better careers. Maybe they were great, but they just could have been a lot better if not for something.
You were very vague about the instructions here until that explainer right there, which I was wondering if you were going to actually say that last part.
So, Donnie, the floor is yours.
So, I have one honorable mention, and he is an all-time great. He was an all-time great. That is Roberto Clemente. He did almost play 20 years. I know that the tragic ending took place, but he was 18 full seasons into a Major League Baseball career, a shoe-in Hall of Famer, one of the greats in Pirates history, one of the greats in the game's history. but he was already very much through his career when tragedy struck.
I mean, he would have come back and played in 73.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, he was still a 300-plus hitter in,
you guys,
in up until his death, but I just thought...
No, that's a good one, because he probably almost racked up a couple more seasons, I bet.
Yeah, but I mean, he played almost two decades without really any ailment otherwise.
You know how people say sometimes that somebody who dies tragically before their time, it like heightens the way they are remembered even more so? Like, they become like almost an immortal figure.
Chris Farley.
Well, yeah, like...
Great example
of that. Right, Kurt Cobain in music. But I feel like Roberto's, it maybe has elevated, yes, how great of a person and humanitarian he was, but like it's tragic on so many levels. But one of them was, I think he would have been one of those people after his playing career who did so much humanitarian stuff, tangible stuff that would have kept him probably front and center, that it was just a ridiculous loss on a ton of levels, that being one of them. But I think that's fine as an honorable mention.
Five?
Number five, I go with another bucko, our pal Steve Blass. He was second in the Cy Young voting in 1972. He had just won Game 7 of the World Series in 1971, some of the most masterful pitching that the franchise had ever seen. And the yips come out of nowhere. His ERA goes from 2.49 to 9.85, career basically shot and over. So not necessarily an injury.
I like this one.
But you have to wonder, how does the career end for our pal Steve Blass when he's coming off the best baseball of his life and all of a sudden it's gone?
And at how that old age, was he? He was 32 in his final season, 31-year-old season when it went to crap for him. He's going to pitch five or six more years minimum.
Absolutely.
Especially in that era where it wasn't about, like, can you throw it 100? It was rubber arm, crafty veteran.
Four?
Number four, this guy played six games in his career, six NFL games. He was the Steelers' top pick in 1983. I got to go with Gabe Rivera. We got no idea what the Steelers would have ever gotten from this guy.
Senor Sack.
One of the great nicknames of all time.
It should have been Marino.
We said that in literal perfect harmony, too.
It should have been Marino, and because of Gabe Rivera and not Dan Marino, you know who else we got?
Kenny Pickett.
Kenneth Shane Pickett. Pitt playing tonight, by the way.
NFL Network, I think.
In the games he was born to play in.
Mr. Preseason.
You know what I actually thought the power ranking could have been today?
Best preseason players of all time?
Best Mr. August of all time.
James Washington, Kenny Pickett.
James Washington.
We have another preseason game next week.
Ola Denny, who just retired today.
Yep. Three.
Three, I go with another Steeler. I'm going to put Ryan Shazier here.
Great choice.
His career ending a game that we all remember, that he was having a career season. I think he had legitimate shot at Defensive Player of the Year in 2017. In fact, Pony, I know that your pal Nick Wright would say on FS1 pretty much weekly after the Steelers played, this dude has my Defensive Player of the Year vote. That's how good he was.
Nick's been on FS1 for that long.
Yeah, he didn't have hair back then. He didn't look like
he was bald Nick Wright.
He didn't look like an Old Testament.
He was bald. He was bald Kellerman.
Yeah, that was early on in the Nick Wright era.
I was going to say, that had to be at the very outset of the Nick Wright era. I am on a small island here in one way. I never saw Defensive Player of the Year coming for him. I thought he was a good to very good player, but a touch overrated.
You mean even in that season?
Yes, a touch overrated.
I thought he was a freak in that season.
A touch overrated by Steelers fans, I felt like. I know he was having a crazy year. I know it. But I felt touch overrated.
Apparently you don't know it because you're pounding the drum for overrated here.
In Steelers fans' opinions, yes.
Two.
Mario Lemieux, number two. Obviously will be remembered still as a top five, probably top three player of all time. People will still argue he's the greatest hockey player to ever play, especially people in this town. You do have to wonder, what if you don't get the injuries, you don't get the illness? Is Mario Lemieux the greatest hockey player to ever live?
I think he is the greatest even without all this combination of size, skill, speed, all that.
But you have to rely on eye test and you can't use stats because of what Donnie is saying.
Sure, and I think the cancer is one thing. That's incredible, like, that he came back. The back injuries,
the debilitating back. Couldn't even...
He wouldn't even lace up his skates, exactly. Then he'd go out and have, like,
so
three
who did
or four
it for
points.
Him?
just equipment managers, I guess. Also,
what a job.
You wonder too, not that it probably made a difference, honestly, because he was so gifted. The guy had like the worst training habits ever until he had his comeback. Double cheeseburgers, cigarettes in the locker room.
My type of guy.
I mean, he had, he was.
Worst
he did
diet,
not,
Ben or Mario? Yeah,
Mario, I think.
Put it right on the spot, Don. You see how I did that?
We're talking about two of the greats in Pittsburgh history here,
Ballsy. I mean, how much beer? Here's the problem. Mario came up in the era where I'm sure he drank beer. Now he has fine, you know, taste in wine. But it was only like your, like basically your light beers or your lagers, right? The IPA generation was a terrible thing for Ben because he could find those double
IPA.
You're
trying to sidestep this, and I'm not going to let you do it.
I'll go with Mario because cigarettes were also involved. I don't know if Ben
ripped
heaters. Worst
diet, Mario or Kessel?
Kessel, all that Diet Coke or whatever is going to kill him.
Oh, I don't think he would drink Diet. I think
he
it
drinks
was regular,
the real,
it was
the real
regular
deal.
Coke. Yep.
If
like
he was
Tony
drinking
Soprano.
The, well, if he's drinking the stuff you could get down in like Mexico with the real cane sugar, then it's just it's not that bad.
Number one, what if
Michelle Briere?
Did not see that coming.
Me neither, but that's a good
I
call.
Figured you guys would be surprised by my number one, but I feel like he's
very thoughtful.
Probably
list.
the only eligible number one pick here. The man got to play 1 year in the NHL, somebody who was
sort of
the like guy viewed as Mario before Mario, Sid before Sid.
Yeah, it would be Sid playing 1 year and then a horrible tragedy befalling him.
In the rafters.
Donnie understood the assignment. That is a great list.
He did a really good job. I had a couple names I had written down, Pony. You ready?
Yep.
Martavis, I think, still could be on here, sabotaged. I had Le'Veon Bell. Who knows what the rest of his career looks like.
His name crossed my mind.
I had Bo Bennett written as a joke. Bo is injured. Bennett is out. And then here's one that the real heads from around here are going to know. I want to see if Pony can fill in the blank here. I can't say anymore because once I say the level this guy played at, he'll guess it. One guy, a what could have been. People will tell you he was the best they'd ever seen at a certain level. Brian Davis from Wash High.
I was just
going to
say that. And the other guy I was going to say is Curtis Bray, who was the Gatorade National Player of the Year, the number one recruit in America, went to Pitt, had a sterling career there, but because I think knee injuries, he didn't turn into like a great NFL player, but he was viewed as like the biggest high school recruit in the entire country.
That's also kind of why I left mine to just pro athletes. Because you could fill it with 100 guys that played high school football around here.
But there are people.
Terrell Pryor could be
on
that list.
There are people
he could have.
But
that would have been
Donnie,
a great one.
There are people who've seen Pryor, seen Arrington, have seen all the greats. I've talked, like, you could talk to people. It's easy to find them. Who've covered them all. Who say, without a second's hesitation, Brian Davis was better than every one of them. Every single one of them.
Well done, Donnie.
One of the best power rankings list I think we've ever had somebody do.
I'm happy. I feel like this is
Jeff
the spot
and South,
where you
normally get
Jeff
shredded. Jeff in South Park just loving this. Steve tweeting in, if Michelle Briere isn't on everyone's list, it's a pathetic disappointment.
Well, it was.
There's only one list. It's Donnie's, and it's a home run.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. We'll let our friends at Channel 2 take care of that. What Mike Florio is saying about Brandon Ayuk resonating here in Pittsburgh today. What did he say, and what is our reaction to it coming up next? First, though, I'm going to tell you guys about FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of 93.7 The Fan, the official betting partner of the NFL. We've got more preseason action tonight you can bet on with the Patriots and Eagles. Kenny Pickett expected to play most of that game for Philly. The odds makers still think New England's better. -3 tonight. New England's going to play a lot of Drake May, you would think, in that contest. -3 for New England. They don't trust Kenny Pickett in the preseason. Interesting. He lives for this stuff. The game Saturday night here in Pittsburgh. The Steelers now up to a 4.5-point favorite with news that Tomlin is going to play his top quarterbacks in that game. -4.5. So go to FanDuel right now and make your first bet. Get $150 in bonus bets if that first $5 bet wins. FanDuel.com/Andrew. 21 plus present in PA. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is knowledgeable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms. Sportsbook.FanDuel.com. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.